Praise the Lord, Mr. Wallace. I don't need an introduction. Everybody here know who I am. I thank God for y'all being here this morning. I thank God again for the heat. Praise the Lord. We already have the water because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the type of the water, so praise the Lord. Good morning. I ask you to go ahead and get your Bible together. And we're going to page 834, Romans 7:20. We're going to be a little bit of Bible study, a little bit of Word this morning. If you don't have a Bible, get one. I got two up here. If you run out, page 834. 834, Romans chapter 7, verse 20. When you get it, say amen. I'm going to have you stand. I should have you stand, but I'm not going to have you stand. I'm going to read about six scriptures, 1, 2, 3, 4, six scriptures this morning. 834, Romans 7:20. Once we get this young people club going, you don't know how to read the Bible. You know how to find chapters and verses. You want to look it up, you already know. You start memorizing the scriptures. Hallelujah. My desire is to get something for young people. We already got God's family club, but we haven't been meeting. But once we get, we're going to start having a lot more kids, and we need to have something for these kids to do. Also, hopefully we're going to have these computers for this training for these kids. But you shouldn't have to look in the contents of your book to know where things are at. But Romans 7:20, page 834, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And then we get down with that, we're going to go to 844, then we're going to go to 7:20. The Word of God reads chapter 7, verse 20. Are you there?
Amen.
If the first word ain't now, you're in the wrong place. It said, now if I do what I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, on the same page, go to Romans 8:9. You got it? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man, woman, boy, or girl has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10, if Christ be in you, the condition, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, but if, another conditional statement, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he had raised up Christ from... But if the Spirit of him, talking about God, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that had raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You see that? Now go to page 844, please. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. Whether you have him or not. It's not an it, it's a person. It's God's Spirit. Amen. If you're saved and you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you ain't saved. You have the Holy Spirit because you are saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit if you're not saved. Amen? Verse 1 Corinthians 1:19, 6:19 says this, but what? Know ye not? Don't you know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, came from God. And you're not your own. Verse 20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, give God glory. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. Amen. Now we go to one more chapter, one more verse. Luke 9:23. I know this is Greek to some of y'all because y'all don't read the Bible. It should not be Greek to you. 7:20. I'm sorry. 7:20. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. 7:60. Oh, excuse me. Thank you, Tanya. I'm straightening out. Somebody checking, helping me out this morning. Let me turn to 7:60. I thought it was 7:20. Okay. The greatest book you have is in your hands. I don't care how many books they got in the school. This is the greatest book ever written because it contains the Word of God. 7:60, I stand corrected. And Jesus, now I'm gonna read 22. It says this. Jesus taught, he straight charged them.
Wait a minute. That's 21.
Oh, I want to read 22, or 22 and 23. Now, this Jesus is charging the disciples, said, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things. He's talking about himself. And he will be rejected of elders and of chief priests and scribes and be slain. You're going to be murdered, put to death. But he's going to raise on the third day. He said it to them all. That's counting you too and me too. If any man, when it says man, it don't mean just man, it means woman, boy, girl, any human being, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
it's not about you.
It's all about
Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
Tell him again if they didn't hear you. Neighbor, it's not about you.
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Look, I'm going to give a little introduction here. God wanted a family. Amen.
Amen.
So he created Adam and Eve. Now follow along with me now. This is my introduction. In Genesis 1:31, God says, God saw everything he made was, behold, it was very good. And even in the morning were the sixth day. My question to y'all Bible students, or those who know the Bible, if God made everything very, he said it was very good. Everything he made was very good, and that's who the man. What happened? What happened was the enemy of our soul got into what God had created. He got in through disobedience. I wish my mom was here this morning, but she's not here. She's having probably with her kid, a rebellious kid. I want to tell her why he's rebellious. Why anybody's rebellious? Because they don't have God. That's one reason. But it comes from our daddy, Adam. And what happened when he disobeyed God, he brought sin into the world. He brought what I call it a sinful nature. Y'all heard me say this before. When Adam sinned, devil implanted Adam a sinful nature. I love little Aunt Gier and all the little kids in here. But if they don't get, if somebody don't tell them right from wrong, they're automatically going to do wrong.
Amen.
And it's so good to have kids in the church. Because that little sin nature, it will manifest years later. But you can see it at the very beginning. Even a little baby be lying. I always say, you know, being in the crib lying. Because it's a sin nature in them that came from Adam, came from the devil. And this sinful nature causes people to sin. It causes you and I to sin. And everybody born in this world is born with this sinful nature. They got a nature that's automatically going to sin. I don't care how much you tell them, how you yell at them, don't do this, Johnny, don't do this, Johnny. They going to rebel because that sin nature don't want nobody to tell them. It's selfish because it comes from the selfish one, the devil. The devil imparted himself, his spirit, into mankind. And we sin. And we sin. And everybody born is a sinner. Because we come from the first Adam. Now, what I want to tell you this morning, newsflash, if you are saved, and I'll emphasize the if, because there's a whole lot of people going to hell that think they're going to heaven. A whole lot of people. Because they're not truly saved. Nobody here, though. Everybody here is saved. I pray. Now, the sin nature does what? It sins. And the wages of sin is death, right? So, and the penalty of sin is death. But Christ deals the favor. He paid a penalty with his blood, with his own life. The moment you get saved, hallelujah, God implants something in you that's called the Holy Spirit. And it's God's divine nature. It's God, the way God is. See, the devil, he's a self person. Only thing he cares about is self. And God is a self, but he cares about everybody. He loves everybody. And so we are vessels where God can use us to reach other people. He wants to use us to love. He wants his love distributed. I mean, he wants his love distributed through us. But you're not God. But God's spirit is in you. What I'm trying to say is, when people see you, they didn't see Christ in you. They didn't see Jesus. And it's going to up with her church, but they're not seeing Jesus. They're still seeing the effect of the fall. Because people don't understand, don't even realize who is in them. And God has changed our nature. And we don't want to sin no more. If you get true, you really don't want to sin no more. But the enemy of our soul, the devil, will do anything he can to cause you to sin. And we're so ignorant of what God has done. God has took you out of Adam, the old Adam, and put you in the new Adam, the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. Ain't gonna be no more. And when you guys say God imparted to your heart His divine nature, and that nature is gonna cause you to love people, and God, He wants to use you to show love to people, but we don't because that old sinful nature. Is really the part that's been broken, but we don't even understand what God has done. He implanted His nature into you through the Holy Spirit the moment you get saved. And when I say Spirit, I mean to your heart. It means also to your heart also. The problem is most people are ignorant of the fact that the sin nature that the devil planted in the first Adam, his part has been broken. And being ignorant of that fact, they continue to let the sin nature of the devil still reign and rule in their life. Now, sometimes, you know, we say sin, you know, we say, well, she's sinning, or they sin, they're sinning. But there's acts of sin, God's care to act, and the problem, what causes the sin. But there's more, it's all kinds of sin. Sin is a lot, comes a lot of ground. What I mean by that is when you disobey God, when you disobey God, that's sin. Amen?
Amen?
Let's go back to the Word. This is a command from Jesus. He said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny him. This is a command. Deny yourself or renounce yourself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That's a command. And so what he's saying is, Your old self is so messed up, you got to deny that person. And God has made you a new self. So when you continue to the devil use your old person you was, you make it a Christ, the cross of Christ has none effect. And let's say again, it ain't about you. It's all about Jesus. Now we had the privilege, the honor to be a vessel. We're only a vessel, we're a container. We are branches, we are servants. You're saved to serve. Not to save, keep on sinning. Saved to serve. I'm saved now, so I'm going to serve the Lord. On the flip side, you were born a sinner, and you served the devil. If you served, I served the devil for 32 years. God called me when I was 32, but I didn't start walking right, really walking right until 36. It took me 4 years to lay hold of what God had done, and He's still working on me. You're saved to serve. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus.
Amen.
It ain't about you. God wants a family that is just like Him, that shows love, that is merciful, that is long-suffering, and all these things God does, everything God does, what He wants that to be in you, and He wants you to, He wants to use you to show the love He has to other people. That's our sole purpose. We're vessels. He don't live up to us to love everybody. He don't live up you to love somebody. He wouldn't love nobody if he had a choice because the devil got your mind so messed. You don't want to help nobody. But He puts His nature in and He will cause you to love you. He'll cause you to unite. All the attributes of God are in you through the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans 7:20. Go back there, y'all. 8:34. I'm going to do a little bit of teaching. If the devil can stop you from serving God, he can stop the plan that God has for your life. Let me say it again. If the devil can stop you from serving God, he can stop the plan of God that God has for you. The devil will use anybody that is available to do his work. His ultimate game plan is to destroy you by any means necessary. He don't care who he uses, mama, brother, daddy, sister, girlfriend, boyfriend. He don't care who he uses. He'll use anybody available. He started in the garden with Adam and Eve, our first parents. But Jesus broke up. Jesus had broken what the devil did, planted it dead in the garden, and he took care of our sin problem in the cross when he's going to Garden of Gethsemane. Isn't it funny that Adam and Eve started in the garden, and Jesus prayed through in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know what he went through his prayer? So he took care of the Garden of Gethsemane. It's not about you, it's all about Jesus. Romans 7:20. This is those who were sinners. Paul is talking here before he got the revelation of who he was in. Who was in it? Paul did not understand when he wrote this. He backtracks in his life and goes back when he first got saved. He didn't understand that the power of the sin nature that we got from the devil. He didn't understand it. But now he backtracks in his life. He understands that the sin nature, the power has been broken. But he says this. Now, if I'm doing, he was doing wrong. He said, if I do something I don't want to do. Evidently, we don't know what it was. Nobody knows. Don't matter. But you got thousands of people doing things they don't want to do. It is no more I, right? You with me? That do it. Amen. I don't know how you see what I'm saying. If you look in the sky, unless you know it by heart. Now, if I do that, what I would not, I'm doing something I don't want to do. It's no more I that do it. He said, I'm doing something that I don't want to do. But he said, it's no more I. It's not me that do it. But what? Sin.
In me.
That dwells in me, right?
Right. Amen.
He said, it ain't me. But it's something in me. In this body that dwells in me. Now the word dwell means this. It comes from Ako, the Greek says, for Ako is a house. To inhabit as one's abode. What happened at the fall, the sin that came from the devil entered the house of Adam and Eve. And he sent out his dwelling in them. And that's why Paul said there's a sin nature in me that's dwelling, living in me. There's something in me that's going to make me cause me to sin. I know I'm saying I delight in the law of God, but there's something in me that's making me to sin. It's a nature in me that's making me to sin. And that's what's going on. But he was ignorant at this time. He was ignorant at this time that God had broken the power of that sin nature at the cross. All right? Because when he said Christ, now he's a new Christian. And he, you know, you first get saved, you know, you're happy, you know. And but the devil, he's bad. So he's going to do all, he'll start talking to you, ain't saved. You had a genuine experience with the Lord by faith. And he's mad. So he pulled all his weapons out to cause you to sin. I know it's true. He can't stop you from getting saved, but after you get saved, he's trying to discourage you, trying to make you lose your faith in Christ, and trying to talk to you and say you ain't saved. But don't listen to him. The sin nature sins. But God, the moment you got saved, Paul, the moment you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, God imparted the Holy Spirit into your spirit. He had planted you with his divine nature. That's the way about it. He put his divine nature, with God is love, the love of God was put into your heart.
Amen.
Into your spirit. The moment you got saved. Alright? Christ on the cross. That's me representing me and you. He took our sin, everybody's sin, sin in the whole world, and God put it on him. And it killed him. Sin kills. Sin separates. So Jesus took all our sins on God, all took on him, and he went down to hell. Now wait a minute. Let me back up. God put his sins in us. Sin separates. When Adam sinned in the garden, he lost Holy Spirit. When our sins were put on Jesus, he was separated from God because sin separates. That's why he called out, my God, why are you forsaken? He had never experienced sin. But he took our sins to the whole world. Every person born from Adam and Eve to the end of the age, he took all the sin and God put it on him. And when the full weight of Amen.
Amen.
It's going to be long. It's going to be patient. It's going to be care. It's going to be just like God because it is God. But the problem is, when you're ignorant and don't understand that, so the devil is you a newborn Christian, so what he's trying to do is to try to talk to you, try to convince you that that change didn't take place. You got a will to do right, but you ain't able to do it because he's talking to you. He had a hold, and he's trying to keep bringing back the old thing. He's trying to get you to start keep on relying on self. And self is your enemy. And that's under control of God. If the Holy Spirit has control of you, then all right. But self is the enemy because self is what got the devil kicked out of heaven. Self said, I don't need God. I can do it all by myself. Don't need no help. Don't need to go to church. Don't need to do that. I can do all my life. Who is he talking? Who do you think he's talking? The devil. Because that's what he said. I'm going to take over heaven. I'm taking over. I will. Five times. He said, I will. I'm going to be like the Most High. He's going to take over heaven. Guess what that guy is? Kicked out. But when he got kicked out, guess where he landed at? On the earth. Right where Adam and Eve was made, created. He seen what God was doing. He said, oh God, you know, I got kicked out of heaven. I'm going to go after his children. Adam and Eve. So he attacked Adam and Eve. Gets Eve to fall. Then when they fall, they disobey God. They brought sin and the sin nature. Now, if the power of the sin nation of the old Adam has been dead, the power has been broken, then why can I live for God? He's equipped me with the Holy Spirit, his divine nature. Now, if the power of the sin nature, which is broken, according to the word, is broken, it says sin shall not have dominion over you. Barbara the prayer. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It shouldn't be ruling you. Okay, so now you got divine and you get the sin from it. So if the seat, we got the back. If that is the case, and the Holy Spirit in you, no wonder you're having so much trouble with the devil. Because you ain't, you I'll leave that alone. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you are not saved. Now here's the scripture. But ye are not in the flesh. We're not going by what we were, but in the Spirit. If so be, if so be, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, living in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, what? He's none of his. If you are in Christ, the body is dead to sin, but the Spirit of life. But the Spirit is life. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. God's Spirit, Romans 8:11. The Holy Spirit planted to your heart the moment you believe. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So He's saying that the Holy Spirit is in us. Amen. Y'all agree? The Holy Spirit is in you. Now the Holy Spirit is in you, right? What? Don't you know that your body, this body we have, is the temple of God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, which is what? In you. Which you have of God. Who gave it to you? Jesus. How did he give it to you? Because your faith. And you're not your own because you were bought with a price. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Amen. And in your spirit, which are God's. I like this. He said, therefore, glorify God in your body. Well, how do you do that? Everything God does, what you give him glory, give him praise for it. Back to my message. Deny self is a command that Jesus gave us. And it's a sin when we don't obey God, Jesus' command. And he said in there, oh, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, come pick up his cross and follow me. I'm coming to a close. The command is denying yourself. Self, not under control of the Holy Spirit, is your enemy. Self, your old self, is your enemy when it comes to live for God. Because you got to change self. And God did the cross. Any man be a Christian, God did the cross. He changed it. And that, because self is what? Selfish. Ego. Let me tell you something. In Romans chapter 7, 32 times, Paul mentioned I. In Romans 8, it's all about the Holy Spirit. Romans 6 tells us how to live safe. Tells us to live by the Spirit, right? And when you don't live by the Spirit, you're going to be living by the flesh, which Romans 7 is all about. Paul said, I'm crucified, I'm carnal, I'm still under sin. Saved, but still under sin. But he got the revelation, and he came out of it, and he said, it's the Spirit. Any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Now, he says, Romans 8, 1, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You got to sin. Let me tell you something. Only the devil can do with you. As long as the devil condemn you, wherever you do, don't let the devil condemn you. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation says you messed up and you're going to try to make you feel bad. You're going to go to hell. You don't mess up now. And he condemns you. Conviction is the Holy Spirit saying, you know you did wrong, get it right.
Amen.
A big difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is like, I'm going to send you off to hell. You know, you condemn. Conviction is the same as saying, you did wrong, ask God to forgive you, and get right. And the Bible tells me there's no condemnation. I can't condemn. You can't condemn nobody. God don't even condemn you when you're in Him. When you're in Him, God knew we was going to mess up sometimes. Don't have to, but He knew and He made provision when we messed up. Because the blood covers everything. God, the blood covers every sin we ever done in the past, going to do in the future.
Yes.
It covers it.
Amen.
So don't let the devil lie to you, make you feel condemned. Because he's a master in feelings. But your feelings go up and down. Feelings, don't depend on your feelings. Feelings are, they mess you up. And feelings are a result of what's going on in your mind. I don't feel like going to church. Who do you think that thought is in your mind? Check out your thoughts. They ain't just giving me an excuse. They ain't got no water. I ain't going to church. Who put that thought in your mind? Anything that's going to keep you from going right, you know it's the devil. Anything that's going to make you do something right, Go! Guess what you know you should do? It's the devil. I'll tell you right now, it's the devil. Well, if you had the Spirit of God, you are saved. Well, I asked the question. Well, if you got the Spirit of God in you, you're saved. It's very simple. If God has implanted His divine nature to you when you got saved, You got power. You got the Holy Ghost. Well, do you really know Jesus? I am convinced. I am convinced. I'm absolutely convinced. We went to the hell stop last night. Well, thousands and thousands, well, hundreds and hundreds of people. Well, getting in to see this play they had about the death and life and death and the grave and what's beyond the grave and all this. And but never once, well, did I hear anything about Jesus. Not one time. Well, I was told what's going to happen if I don't choose Jesus. And I was explained to me where I'm going to go. Well, didn't hear nothing about Jesus. But don't you know, the only thing going to stop you from going to hell is Jesus. So much emphasis on what's going to happen to you. But none of that last night we seen will happen to you. Well, if you are a child of God, well, I'm so convinced. It ain't hard to get saved. I'm convinced you got people in the church that claim to be saved. And don't know Jesus. Well, I am convinced. You got people in the church. And they're saved by what they think. And not what they know in their heart. Do you really know Jesus? Well, I'm changing the subject. Where's the evidence? Where is the evidence, Brother Paul? You claim to be a child of God. Where is the evidence? Where is the proof? Where is the evidence? The evidence, was about 2,000 years ago on a cross on Calvary's Hill. There was a man, a Jew, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He went to the cross and took my place. I heard my cousin say this morning, and it hit my spirit. He said, forget that name. That name don't exist. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, your old name, forget it. The old way you was, forget it. In the eyes of God, in the mind of God, you no longer exist. You got a new name. It ain't doo-doo. It's not Kiki. It ain't this. It's Jesus. God's only begotten Son. Forget the name that the devil gave you. Forget the name that you had before you got saved. Well, my question this morning is all about, do you know Jesus? Are you going to heaven? The evidence I've been ready to say is the cross. And my Bible says, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, by faith are you saved. By grace through faith are you saved. That's the evidence, that you're saved. Now that you're saved, what are you going to do? It says, Bible says, Romans, Ephesians 2:8. Somebody go there for me, Brenda, get Ephesians 2:8. Well, now what about the works, You can't work your way to heaven, You're saved by grace. Well, it's through faith. Somebody give me Ephesians 2:8 through 10. Well, forget that name. When you met Jesus, God changed your whole resume. You were a sinner in Adam, but now you are saint in Jesus. Well, hallelujah. Do you know Jesus? Where is the evidence that you know Jesus? Where is the proof? Well, the word is the proof. The cross is the proof that you're in Jesus. Well, somebody get Ephesians 2:8. Well, praise the Lord.
For by grace are ye saved through faith.
All right, go ahead on.
And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God.
All right. Go on, number 10.
Not of the work.
No. Go ahead on. Go ahead and read.
Not of the works, lest any man should boast.
See that? Works don't save you.
Amen.
Come to church, paying your tithes, whatever. Ain't no work gonna get you saved. I don't care how good you good. It's a lot of good people going to hell every day.
Yes.
For one reason, they don't know Jesus. Go ahead.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
We're created for good works. You know, good works, we're created to do good works. Don't get me wrong. We're created to do good works, but the good works, you can't have no good works unless it come from God. So all the works we do before we get saved, they're not going to save us. God don't accept it. But once you get saved, you're created to do good things. Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Now, it ain't about you. This is the problem of the church. I see it all the time. talking about here all the time. I see ministers giving all glory to themselves. And you can testify about what you know. And you can say, you give God the glory. I don't care whatever you say. You got to understand that I is the ego. And that I has been under the influence of the devil so much that it's become selfish. Nothing wrong with self that get glorifies God. But before we got saved, self glorified the devil. It glorified the devil, so we can boast. I'm this, I'm that. Little story. Had a friend of mine at my job. He was a lazy man. He thought he was everything in a box of chips. He had a lot of girlfriends, cool daddy. And he was walking into the building. Another Christian friend of mine, he was just pimping, looking marred himself. Checking, looking. She said, "Look!" I said, "Look at that." He said, "Look at that, Brother Wallace." I said, "Where?" I said, "He just doing what his daddy do. Daddy thought he was cute too. He just carrying out what his daddy was, because devil, devil was a beautiful angel. So I said, he just doing what his daddy. He doing what his daddy had been doing. We did what our daddy had did, because our daddy before we got saved, I'm gonna see truth, was the devil. Our daddy was the devil, and so we act like the devil. We're selfish like the devil. But now Christ is coming. All that changed now. Now the self, the new self, is gonna bring glory to God." See, God spends so much time with all of us, me and everybody here. He wants to get glory out of your life. He wants you to get somebody saved. Amen. Our family members are going to hell because of us. You had the Holy Spirit. You got the God that made everything in you, if he's in you. And God wants to use you to get to them. Your family first. Your neighbor and everybody else that come in contact with you. But the devil's going to try to block you through any means necessary. It was alcohol for me, because I ran for 4 years after the guy that called me. So he had alcohol there for me. So I wasn't serving God. I can't serve alcohol and serve God too. So I ran. I just play like he ain't, just ignore God. me. But God gets the glory. But when I really got a hold of it, and I was 36, alcohol left. When I made my mind up, everything gone, just gone. Everything that was stopping me from serving the Lord, alcohol was a major hindrance. God got rid of it, just took it. All right? Give God the glory, because he did. He just took the desire away. I don't know what it would be on. I don't know. All I know about is alcohol. Alcohol I know about. I never had crack, I don't know what it do to you. All I know, somebody told me, one hit, you're hooked. Yeah. I heard that. I had smoked marijuana. But anyway, what I'm saying, the devil used anything he got in his arsenal to try to stop you from serving God. He used every arsenal. And he'll go back into your past. He'll go back and dig up things and try to get you, he's trying to lure you back in. But you got one in you that's stronger than the devil, amen? Amen. Now, do you know who's in you? Do you know who's really in you? It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit, the power to live right. I submit to you. You put God first in your life. Everything you stand in need right now, I guarantee you, based on God's word, God gonna give it to you. You put God first. I bet you everything you stand in need of, God gonna give it to you. Because God don't want you hindered and worried about stuff down here. You got kingdom business. Tell your neighbor, I got kingdom business. I got kingdom business. Kingdom business is getting people saved. Yeah. Getting people off of drugs and alcohol. That's kingdom business. And he gives you the power, the equipment. But we're so tied up in mess. I got mess. You got mess. And what do you do with mess? If I'm at the racetrack and in the horse stall, if I see some mess, I'm going to walk around. But God seen our mess. Did he walk around the pole? Brenda, tell him, did he walk around your mess? He got in your mess. He got in your mess. Got that over you was at. And brought you out. got that in your mess. I got to think what's in my mind. He didn't walk around and he said, I know you're a mess. Everybody, the devil is a mess. You messed up because you got messed up by the messed up one. The devil really messed. The devil, he ruined everything. Yet God gave him a child. He's the God of this world, but he really ain't the God of this world. He rules the world, but God got the lease. He's the landlord. And he about ready to pull the devil's lease. But the devil won't take everybody with him. Well, I'm going to close. If you are saved, don't you know who took a residence in you? Whether if you got saved, I will tell you who's in you. Don't you know Christ, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, is in you? Gossip this morning? Know that Jesus is the healer and resides in you. Going through a test this morning? Know that Jesus is with you and in you. Know that He's a very present help in a time of trouble. Well, who's in you this morning? Well, I pray it's God's only begotten Son. Well, who's in you this morning? Brother Paul, Brother Brenda, well, and Angie, well, y'all been down to the Newark, and you went to Hell Stop last night. Well, when you went there, did you take Jesus with you? Well, who's in you? Well, He's the way maker. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. He will make a way out of no way. I'm a witness. He'll make a way out of no way. Who's in you this morning? Well, your burden bearer, the heaven low care. Who's in you? Well, the lover of your soul. You need some love today. Jesus loved you. He gave His only life for His life for you. Well, who's in you? The Savior, your Redeemer. Who is in you? Well, the bridge over troubled water. I'm talking about the bridge. Tell your neighbor, say, it ain't about you. Build a bridge and get over it. It ain't about you. Build a bridge and get over it. But it is about you when you got Jesus in you. Then it's about Jesus. He's in you. So now it's His business. Well, who's in you? Well, the problem solver. Well, the anchor of your soul. Well, who's in you this morning? I pray it's Jesus. Jesus and not the devil. Well, Jesus kicked the devil out at the cross. Well, He kicked the devil out at the cross. Well, Adam got in this mess, but Jesus, well, He specializes in mess. Ain't no case too hard for Him. Ain't no crack, ain't no alcohol, ain't no drug that Jesus can't deliver you from. Well, ain't nothing that the devil put on you that Jesus can't take care of. Well, I hope you have Jesus this morning. I don't know if you have him or not. If you don't have Jesus, you are most people most miserable. I don't know how I made it without Jesus for 36 years before I got saved. Now that I got Jesus, smooth sailing. Yeah, tests and trials are going to come, but the greatest fight you got right now, everybody in here, is the fight of faith. The devil hates your faith. He hates faith in people, in Christians. That's the greatest fight you got, is faith. Any fight against the devil is faith. Will you trust and believe God no matter what happens? The devil tests your faith. So God allows the devil to bring tests to you. Because He knows when your faith gets strong, the devil can't handle you. We're destroyed for lack of knowledge, but lack of knowledge comes because you don't know God's word. And the word of God says faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. So if you don't know the God's word, you're not going to have very much faith. The devil knows it. He knows the word. So he knows he's on his way out of here.